NRP S2E36, introducing Ian. So, what did you want to talk about?
I don't know. This is pretty cool. I've never been on Skype before.
First times on the Skypes.
Hello, yeah. And welcome to Skype. How are you today?
How am I sounding? I'm using the Yeti mic I usually use during my episodes, so...
You sound like someone calling in on a cell phone. No, I'm just messing.
Casey Kasem.
Do I sound okay?
Yeah, you sound good. I mean, that's the thing with Skype is that it likes to do its own funkiness with calls. So, like, you know, a lot of people have call-in shows on with podcasts and people calling on Skype, and, like, they'll start doing the robot noise, and then they'll start itching out, you know. It's weird. That's why, like, professional podcasters like to have, like, a machine to run the Skype call and a machine to record it, so there's less, you know. I don't bother with that nonsense.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you recording right now?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure so I don't say anything incriminating.
Incriminating. Like this is a video call and all of a sudden everyone's seeing you in your underwear. Oh no, they can see me with my giant bong. Oh no. So, what topic would we like to discuss during this test episode?
I don't know, we could just keep on rambling file size of the recording.
I'm not gonna max out my hard drive space on nothing, dude. I don't know, but yeah, we've got witty banter, but I mean, if we had topics to talk about, like, you know, I remember when we were first talking about doing this, you said you wanted to do an episode about the cloud, and then, you know, you said today you wanted to do episodes about, you know, when to cut projects out of your life.
Well, yeah, I mean, both of them would be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I'm trying to look on CG Talk and see if there's any, I'm looking in a general discussion to see if there's anything worth talking about.
I'm also looking on the internet for hot babes. You're just upset that I've been on the internet chatting with hot babes all day. Alright, so...
Well, I don't know, sort of talk about, you know, what we were just talking about earlier with the, you know, trying to cut out projects that might not be as important, and we could also maybe talk about, you know, maybe, like, if it's, like, better to do, like, freelance stuff versus working for the man, I guess, you know?
Working for the man every night and day, yes.
We could sort of talk about those. It'd be nice if I start doing a lot of stuff with you, I think we should try to aim for, you know, I think a half an hour is a decent podcast. I mean, you don't even have to do that much editing. You could just let a lot of stuff go in there naturally, you know?
Yeah, it's the shows that you don't edit. You look back and you go, that's a lot of, hemming and hawing. I don't know about that, Dave. I don't think so, Tim.
I don't know. I just thought it'd be good to have, like, a, you know, more of, like, just to standardize the time, you know, as far as, like, in half-an-hour increment, or if we get a lot more podcasts, maybe even do an hour. I mean, it's only once a week.
Well, I mean, the whole thing with content and, you know, timing, it's a matter of, like, you know, if you don't have anything to talk about and you're BSing, it's really hard to fill half an hour. And if you've got a lot of content, sometimes you need to split it up. Because it's like, I've done 2-hour shows, and after a while, it's just like, is that good? I don't know. I'm just going to toss it up there. I don't care.
Well, maybe, but, I mean, even if you don't do a whole half an hour, maybe like 20 minutes or something, or at least try to get in the habit maybe of, you know, like, having like a timer and, you know, trying to wrap it up towards the end and actually just try to have a standardized time of your own, you know.
I try, man. Just, you know. It all depends on how it goes during the recording, man. Because it's like, you know, I can sit down and go, okay, I've got all these topics, and then you breeze through it in 5 minutes and go, well, crap. So.
Okay. Well, yeah, how about this? I'm going to go into my notepad. What we should do is just have a list. That's sort of how radio people prepares, like, have a...
Well, how radio people prepares, they have assistants. You know? Radio people have people to do this stuff for them, depending on how professional they are. They have somebody to write out notes and find information. I mean, I do notes for my episodes anyway, You know, I find all the links and stuff, and that way I can just take my notes from before the show and drop those into the blog post, so that way all the links copy over.
Well, what would be a top topic that you can maybe throw in there that you can think of with the freelancing and the projects, cutting the projects down? What would sort of fit with that, maybe, you think? I figure just as a test run, it'd be good to maybe just talk about things in a general sense, you know?
Mm-hmm.
About maybe you could talk about where, like, the whole industry of art in general is, what do you think it's going more towards, you know? And what kind of, if it's more for freelance or if it's more going to corporate, you know?
Well, corporations anymore, they're finding that it's a lot easier to outsource and hire cheap freelancers on the internet. I mean, you know, a lot of magazine websites and whatnot, they're finding articles, you know, pulled from the internet, rather, you know, and finding authors, you know, especially since they can lowball them and say, well, we can't pay you, but, you know, you'll have all this prestige of appearing on our website for our famous magazine, and writers are, and a lot of professional writers are going, guys, don't do that. The four exposure is BS.
Yeah. Actually, I should probably start this in. Maybe you could start off the podcast with this. Hello, my name's Ian. I'm a friend of Ben's. I'm from Ravenna, Ohio. I went to school with Ben at the Art Institute of Pittsburgh, and we were friends, and then we sort of got out of contact, and then we got back together.
We're like, getting the band back together.
I don't know, what was it, like a year ago or something?
Year? No, it was a couple months ago. I found your email online, and I sent you a letter. I was like, dude, is this the same guy I knew? And
I'm a guest host here, trying this out, see how it ends up, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, welcome, Ian. Golf clap. So, anyway.
Thanks. But, yeah, I'm more of a 3D guy. As you know, Ben here, he's more of a 2D guy, but you know, we, for all of our differences that we have, we surprisingly get along pretty well. So
yeah, we were the pretty hefty duo back at the Art Institute, because, like, you know, I'd be the 2D guy, I knew all about the Photoshop and the different, you know, painting programs and stuff, and you were the 3D guy who was like Maya and Max, man, and look at that. Yeah,
I don't know. I was just it just seemed like, you know, like 3D was like, it always seemed like really techy, and I don't know, it seemed like futuristic, you know? I mean, The Matrix, I guess you could say, as corny as that movie is now, people sort of look at it as more corny, you know? But that movie sort of got me into 3D, I guess, you know, just seeing how real the effects were. I mean, even compared to, you know, the 2D or 3D movies at the time, like Toy Story and stuff, I mean, that was 3D also, but just the 3D effects and with the live action looked like pretty real for that time. So
yeah, when we were at the Institute, it was a lot of people who were really into The Matrix because the sequels were just coming out, and they didn't realize how messed up those were going to be. And then a lot of people were really into Lord of the Rings because it was out, and you know, that was at the time when everybody was wearing the big trench coats, and there's a lot of, you know,
I'm guilty of that, so I'll just say that right now, I was guilty of that.
Yeah, art school, I think what summed up my experience at Pittsburgh pretty well is when I came off an elevator and there was a group of kids playing cards, with every one of them was wearing little angel wings, and they're just dealing cards like it was nothing. It's like, art school.
Yeah. Well, I remember a lot of times you'd be in the elevator there, and then you would run into what I call vampires, the people with all the spike collars and trench coats and all that.
Yeah, a lot of Invader Zim kids there, because that was right around the time that show was being taken off the air, or whatever happened to it, got canceled, I don't know. And then, yeah. It's basically like if you lived in a Comic-Con, that's kind of what it would be like, you know? You know, being out of school, you know, looking back, it's like, when you're 18, 19 years old, you don't really know what to do with your life. You don't really know what you're doing now. Because you're in that little bubble where your parents are still paying, you know, and saying to you to school. Because if you get out of it, it's like, well, guess you gotta go get a real job now. And it's like, you're a little adult practice unit for 4 years. And then after you get out and you're in the real world for a while, you're like, I wish I went back to school and got, like, a business degree here and got this kind of training there. And if I just stayed in there forever, I could have been, like, a permanent student. It would have been great, you know, gone to grad school or got my master's or something and never had... Because once you start paying off those student loans, man, that's... That's when it all hits you. Oh, I'm never going back to college, am I?
Oh no.
Well, I was thinking about going back for a master's in, you know, like animation or computer animation or whatever. But I don't know. If I go, I definitely don't want to go there off of more student loans. I would probably want to try to save up for it first and make sure it's everything's okay with that.
Yeah, I thought about going back to art school for a while, and it's just like, I'm slowly poking my head out of the student debt, you know, loan debt, and, you know, it's like I'd be diving into a lot more of it. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. If I wanted to go get, you know, get some serious time working in films and stuff, it's like, that's pretty expensive. So I think my main focus right now is, like, I'm going to try and make stuff and practice and experiment and learn on my own, because even if I spend like $1,000 on a project, it still beats paying like 46 grand for tuition somewhere.
Actually, that's what we could talk about in a second here is, do you think it's necessary 100% to have some kind of education, or do you think it's just sort of like some kind of scheme to get you to get into debt, and then when you get out of school, you have debt, but you don't have any job?
Well, you're obviously talking about higher education, because I think high school should be required and should be expected of people. I mean, I knew a lot of people, they're like, as soon as they got old enough, they just dropped out, and it's like, it's senior year, man. Wait a couple months, and then you get the paper that says you did something, because, you know, it's like, oh, man, I just want to go and move out of my parents' house and do whatever. It's like, that's fine. Until you realize you're, you know, 40 years old, you never got your high school diploma, and it's like, I mean, I know that college degrees now are meaning less and less than what they used to, but at least I think a bare minimum should be high school. It was expected. I went to it. It was mostly showing up. Most high schools, it's like, that's the hardest part, is getting kids to show up for the whole time, because kids really want to leave. But
yeah,
as for college, you know, I really think there should be a period in between going to college and actually attending it, because, like, for that, you know, when you're a freshman or a sophomore in college, you don't really know anything, and you don't really know, it's like, okay, I've got this map of how I want to live my life, it's going to be great. I'm sure some people, if you're, like, a doctor, and you have to, you know, have so many years studying science, and so many years in med school, and you have to have, you know, if you're a percentage off on some test, it can ruin your future. But by and large, most people that go into college, most people change majors multiple, you know, several times. I didn't, because I always knew I wanted to be an art guy. But, you know, it's like, it was narrowing my focus in school, and really, you know, I really should have spent more time at the Art Institute. I knew people that transferred in, and I, at that point, because when I went there, it wasn't as an affiliate student, so I went for a year to basically shotgun through their program, and it's like, if I transferred, I would have lost a year and been a junior again, and it's like, at that point, I'd been in college, you know, I'd gone from high school to college, I'd been in school basically my entire, you know, what, 16 years, you know, I just wanted to graduate and get out, and get done with it, and move on to the real world. Unfortunately, once you get into the real world, it's like, oh, that's a matter of finding gigs, and finding people, finding connections, finding work, moving out to places with work. That's a whole other ball game.
Right. Well, my take on it is that, I don't know, I did actually take a year off between high school and college, maybe a year and a half, something like that. But I don't know, I got into 3D before I even went into college, like in my senior year of high school, so I started becoming knowledgeable in the programs, and I just started progressing and learning as I went through college, sort of on my own and self-teaching myself. And I mean, I've learned a lot from the teachers, don't get me wrong, but I sort of feel like a lot of my education just came from me being passionate about it, and, you know, looking stuff up on the internet and looking up tutorials and stuff. I don't know. There was actually a lot that the teachers taught us that I actually knew. And
I mean, I think teachers, like, their main goal isn't so much to imbue the knowledge in you. It's a coaching position, really. And it's to be able to look at what you're doing and say, yeah, dude, you're doing this part all wrong. Like, I mean, I was in a drawing class, and there was one student in there. He did these really great detailed illustrations. He wasn't doing what the professors were teaching him. They were trying to teach him that you construct a figure with the base on the inside with the blocks and the shapes, and you form a dimensional figure. He was practicing because he'd been studying, like, Da Vinci and Michelangelo drawings, and he had this technique for drawing really detailed, you know, anatomical illustrations, which, you know, the professor's like, well, that looks really great, but you're not, you know, they couldn't get through to him. And then, like, you know, at the last day of the class, he's like, I don't understand, like, what's wrong, he was trying to, like, get the foreshortening or perspective of a torso, and he couldn't get it to look right. And the professor was like, they sat down with him, and they said, what you're doing is nice, but you need to block in the form and then turn it, you know, with these shapes first, and then lay your beautiful outlines. And he did that, and he's like, oh, wow, this makes a lot of sense. I kind of wish I'd been doing this the whole course. They're like, don't worry, you'll have all the time in the world when you do it next semester. You know, and that's really what, you know, what a teacher should be doing throughout, is trying to coach them and look over their shoulder and say, hey, that's great, but we don't all, every mouse doesn't look like Mickey Mouse. You know, you need to draw something else. You know, you need, and pointing them in a direction. And unfortunately, some professors are a little confused. Like, I had some in my college experience that they would always just push you in a different direction. They could never point you in an actual way. They would always, you'd be doing something, they'd say, oh, this is a little too loose and sketchy, you need something tighter. And then you do something tighter, and they're like, it should be looser and freer. Make up your mind.
Right.
So.
Well, pretty much my point is that it seems like, at least for learning how to do, like, 3D modeling and 3D texturing and stuff like that, it's a lot easier nowadays than it was back in the 90s, just because of the whole internet, you know, and there's so many online courses like Digital Tutors and Gnomon School. I think that's how you say it, Gnomon?
I have no idea.
But yeah, there's so much information on the internet nowadays that you can self-teach yourself a lot, but you're right, it is good to have some kind of guidance from the teachers that, you know, they have a lot of skill and talent, and it's also, I just liked having the whole atmosphere of being around other people that were passionate about the same things you are, you know?
Well, I mean, it's good to just have someone to bounce ideas off of, because if you're sitting in your studio all day drawing something, after a while, you don't know what it looks like. You're just like, I've been drawing this circle for, like, 3 days now. I don't know if it's perfect yet. You know, you need somebody else to look at it and to tell you, hey, that looks great, you should try doing this other thing, and get ideas and get, you know, energy off of it. Because, you know, I've been in my studio, I get all kinds of things where I get confused, and it's like, I'm motivated to work on stuff, and then I look at a list of things I've got to do, and I'd go, I have no idea what I want to do. You know, it's just, you need boundaries, you need somebody to tell you when your stuff is good and when it sucks, and unfortunately, it's a little hard to come by when you're by yourself. Because, I mean, people can teach themselves. I've seen people who've never had an art class before who do some crazy, incredible stuff. You can see all kinds of talented people, but they need somebody to tell them, hey, you should go and apply for a job here, or here's what you do. You know, I mean, it's very easy to teach yourself the wrong thing in the wrong way, too.
Yeah, that's true. But, I don't know. I guess it's probably different for just drawing, because that's been around for a while. 3D stuff, coding, programming, a lot of that stuff, it's probably easier to teach yourself that stuff than it would be drawing, I would think, you know?
It depends. I mean, with coding and stuff like that, I've had, you know, I had introductory classes in it back in college, and it was a lot of, you have to understand the logic behind it, of, you know, you're spelling out what the program needs to do, and you need to understand the syntax of it. You know, you need to understand, how does this program this in, or, you know, are we speaking binary, or are we speaking, you know, machine code, or are we speaking, you know, and you have to understand the syntax. Some languages are very English-like, and then some are, I mean, you can read up on stuff and whatnot, and it's good, you know, the thing about being in school, it's the environment, so when you're around a lot of people who are all trying to figure out, how do we program this assignment, man, you know, versus, like, right. You know, you've got, like, some project by yourself, you know, and it's like doing, you know, I mean, there are courses online nowadays to do, and, you know, tutorials online, which, you know, a lot of it comes down to, you see the tutorials, you practice what they show you, and then you go, great, now how do I get to do it the exact same thing, except to the left a little bit?
Right.
How do I get to tweak it? And it's like, I don't know where this is, and you can spend 3 days digging through all kinds of manuals and online things. Versus, you know, you could just ask a professor if you're in the class.
Yeah, exactly that. That's definitely true, because, I mean, even if you post your problem on a forum, that usually will take, like, the quickest forums I've seen is maybe, like, half an hour or something like that. You might not even have your problem answered for a couple of weeks, but with the teacher, it's just right there. You could get help to your problem instantly, you know?
Well, I mean, there's online, you know, courses, too, like, you know, Animation Tutor, is that what it is? And there's animation schools where you can take online courses, and then the professors can review your stuff and then have, like, you know, like, Skype calls with you and talk about things.
And yes, that's what Full Sail University has, I believe, is they have online schools where you can talk on Skype.
Some schools even teach on Second Life.
Really?
It's like, hey, you in the back, can you quit being a unicorn blowing bubbles and just listen to the lecture? Okay? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Second Life. Anyway, the MySpace of 3D worlds. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, also, you can argue that, hey, you wouldn't have met your friends at college if you didn't go there, you know?
Well, college is a unique lifetime experience where you're going to be around people of your own age, you know, all at once. You're never, you know, when do you get to do that other than, like, at a retirement home? You know, when,
yeah.
You know, it's like when you're in college, there's other people that are your age, and then there's the non-traditional student that's in their 40s or 50s that's coming by, and they're like, yeah, I'm not sticking around, I'm going to go to my job, and then I'm going to go home and kiss my wife and say hi to my kids, and they're like, okay, we're going to go down to BW3s and eat some wings and drink some beers till we pass out. Have fun.
Yeah, but, yeah, you were talking about debt and stuff with schools. I know you were in an affiliate program. That's when I met you at AIP. Did you have to, was that just covered under your tuition for your other school?
Well, no, when I went to AIP, they had to, like, they didn't take the student loan stuff that I had at the other school. And that was a bit of a problem, because after I went back from AIP, the other school, they came to me, they're like, hey, you're not at this school anymore, so you have to start paying us back. And like, I'm still in school. I'm still a year from graduating. Well, you need to pay us, because you know, you're not in this school anymore that you were, you know, like, what the? Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, it was a different, you know, the school I went to for 3 out of the 4 years was, you know, they were more of like, you know, traditional, you know, art, like a fine art school, and they taught a bunch of art ed stuff, but it's like AIP was more of like, you know, commercial and working art, you know, like a lot of freelancers, a lot of people that do, you know, things with computers, and there were, you know, other programs, you know, other things too. There was like, you know, industrial design students, there were, you know, interior design students. Oh man, it's quite a range, because when I was in school, it was, you know, You get the people that are into pottery, you get the people that are into making sculpture, the people that are into painting. It's like, you really narrow the, you know, printmaker, you know, they narrow the thing down, and it's like, I'm a cartoonist, I do a little bit of a lot of things, you know, animation, caricature. And, you know,
yeah.
I think, I mean, it is overly expensive in our country. I mean, other countries, you know, it's subsidized by the government, because it's like, why, you know, shackle your people that are out trying to find a job in the market with debt right out of the gate. But I mean, and plus, it's like, I'm glad I went to school when I did versus now when it's like 4 times as expensive. So.
Right. I used to remember, well, I don't remember because I'm not that old, but I think back in, well, like the 40s, 50s, 60s, sometime around then, college used to, like, the priciest colleges were, like, $1,000 for your whole education, and that was it.
Well, back in the day when gasoline was 50, you know, was 5 cents, and, I mean, my parents, you know, my dad would talk about that. He's like, you could fill up your whole tank before it even ever come to a dollar. It's like, yeah, well, it's a finite fuel. It's only going to be on the planet for so long, guys, you know.
Right, but even compared to, well, whatever the comparison for that would be, people weren't in debt from it, you know?
Well, I mean, that was think about it, though, is the average of people that were in college. I mean, now, I mean, there's the whole argument of, you know, kids don't drop out and get an education and go, you know, get school and get a job and all that stuff, but it's like, you know, how many people go to college now versus, you know, back in the day, it's like you had a lot of people stay at home. You had a lot of people that would just go into labor. Now it's like you've got a lot of people who go to college, get a degree, and then never use it. You know, it's like, did you have that in the 40s? People that would spend thousands of dollars and never use that degree in something? I mean, Weird Al Yankovic has a degree in architecture that he'll never use.
Yeah.
My brother got an associate's degree in AutoCAD that he'll never use.
Yeah. And then there's that whole catch-22 about jobs wanting...
people with experience.
Yeah, they want like, experience versus education, you know?
Well, I mean, it depends on the job, too. I mean, if it's a gig where you can just show them your portfolio and go, look at this! And they hire, you know, a freelance versus, like, you know, okay, we want someone in this position who's had years of experience. And, again, this is the day where people hire freelance and go for gigs online where people, you know, the whole for exposure thing, there are places where people actually think they can just get you to submit all your work and never get paid for it just because, well, we don't have money to pay you, but, oh, you got our thanks, and, oh, you'll be published in this and that. And it's like, I don't know, man. Competition. Kids getting out of schools. Trying to make their way.
Right. Well, it's the 3D market is definitely getting to be saturated. I don't know about 2D, but a lot of people are seeming to be into all the 3D animation games, you know? Yeah. So you were talking about freelance and stuff. That's what you're hoping to make some dollar off of, you know?
I don't know. I mean, like, my whole thing is, like, if I had people wanting, you know, to give me money to draw something or to do certain illustrations, that'd be great. But I don't really have people, you know, barging, you know, kicking down my door, you know, trying to get me to get gigs. You know, it's more like I try and focus on my own projects, and I really need to spend more time looking into places to submit portfolios to and, to, you know, and try and find... you know, who's got a gig that they need an illustrator for, who do I talk to, because, you know, I get frustrated with the whole idea of, like, freelance where it's, like, you're kind of just, you know, agreeing to do whatever somebody would pay you for, versus, like, I'd really like the idea of you make something, and then the people out there like it enough that they want it. Like, oh, you made this awesome thing. Well, okay, can we put it on our website? All right.
I forget what I was... thinking about that I wanted to add to that.
It was probably a girl with big boobs. I know what's on your mind, Ian. I know you. So, everybody, that about wraps it up for this episode. This special demo episode with my buddy Ian. Hopefully we'll get some kinks worked out and have a good topic set up for an episode.
Yeah, thanks for having me here. I appreciate it. Hopefully we can make this...
An
even better podcast, you know?
Yeah, I think it will, because, like, you know, I know I'm a genius and everything, and everyone likes hearing my dulcet tones, but I think it helps to have somebody to bounce my ideas off of and tell me I'm full of it now and again, and I know you like to do that very well. You know, plus we've got some very good, like, you know, conflicting points that I think work well on a show, because if it's all just the same guy, you know, you know, sniffing each other's butts for an episode, it's going to be kind of boring. But I think, you know, you come from the 3D world, I come from the 2D world. You know, I say tomato, you say tomata. You know, let's call the whole thing off, whatever. So thanks everybody for tuning in, and we'll see you all on the other side.
Thanks for listening.
Auf Wiedersehen. More, visit NoRightsProductions.com. Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/NoRights. And hey, why don't you check out my Tumblr at NoRights.tumblr.com.